Gopi channa bala pa kidai bhai Gopi channa bala pa kidai bhai Yasharanandana Vajjanarandana Yasharanandana Vajjanarandana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna Krishna, Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada. Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parajak, Jayastu, Tarasakta, Shri, Shima, Dr. Vedanta, Swami, Prabhupada, Ki. Jayam Vishnupad, Paramahamsa, Parajak, Jayastu, Tarasakta, Shri, Shima, Bhakti, Siddhanta, Saraswati, Ki. Namacharya, Haridas, Thakur, Ki. Prem Gaho, Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhupada, Shri, Dwaita, Gadanath, Haru, Shri, Vasya, Gaurabhakta, Vinda, Ki. Shri, Radha, Krishna, Shambhakaran, Govardhan, Dham, Ki, Jai. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories assemble devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. So today we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 7, Verse 39. And we'll also be discussing Jai and Vijay, Chapters 15 and 16 in the third canto. So we'll go with the verse first. Nimitani tatasheha Proktanyana gasuribi Svatoyanam kutapumsam Bhaktirgara gemevava Nimitani tatasheha Proktanyana gasuribi Svatoyanam kutapumsam Bhaktivairagyameva Okay, chant. Nimitane chatasyeha Vaktanyana agasuribhi Svatoyanam kritapumsam Bhaktivaragyamevava. Any ladies? Nimitane chatasyeha Proktanyana vesuribhi Svatoyanam kritapumsam Bhaktivaragyamevava. Nimitani chatasyeha Proktanyana vesuribhi Svatoyanam kritapumsam Bhaktivaragyam evaha Nimitani chatasyeha Prokchanana visuribhi Svatoyanam kritapumsam Bhaktivaragyam evaha Nimitani chatasyeha Proktanyana vasuribhi Svatoyanam kritapumsam Bhaktivaragyam evaha. Okay, synonyms. Nimitani, the source of knowledge. Cha, also. Chasya, of such knowledge. Iha, in this world. Proktani, mentioned. Anaga, spotless. Suribhi, by devotees. Svata, self-sufficient. Jnanam, knowledge. Kuta, how. Pumsam, of the living entity. Bhakti, devotional service. Varagyam, detachment. Eva, certainly. Va, also. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. Spotless devotees of the Lord have mentioned the source of such knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? Please repeat. Spotless devotees of the Lord. Knowledge. How could one have knowledge of devotional service and detachment without the help of such devotees? Purport by Srila Prabhupada. There are many inexperienced persons who advocate self-realization without the help of a spiritual master. They decry the necessity of the spiritual master and try themselves to take his place by propagating this theory that a spiritual master is not necessary. Srimad Bhagavatam, however, does not approve this viewpoint. Even the great transcendental scholar, Vyasadeva, had need of a spiritual master, and under the instruction of his spiritual master, Narada, he prepared this sublime literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. Even Lord Chaitanya, although he is Krishna himself, accepted a spiritual master. Even Lord Krishna accepted a spiritual master, Sandipani Muni, in order to be enlightened. And all the acharyas and saints of the world had spiritual masters. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna accepted Lord Krishna as his spiritual master, although there was no necessity of such a formal declaration. So in all cases, there is no question about the necessity of accepting a spiritual master. The only stipulation is that the spiritual master should be bona fide. The spiritual master must be in the proper chain of the civic succession called the parampara system. Suris are great scholars, but they may not always be anaga or spotless. The anaga suri is one who is a pure devotee of the Lord. Those who are not pure devotees of the Lord, or who want to be on an equal level with him, are not anagasuri. Pure devotees have prepared many books of knowledge on the basis of authorized scriptures. Srila Rupa Goswami and his associates, under the instructions of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, have all written various literatures for the guidance of prospective devotees. And anyone who is very serious about raising himself in the standard of a pure devotee of the Lord must take advantage of these literatures. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I know some of you have to leave, so we're just going to start right now. First of all, really make a point in the purport how important it is to have a spiritual master, and that some people who don't like that idea, they say you don't need a spiritual master, and they kind of become a spiritual master themselves. But when you think about it, what that's important to learn do you not need a teacher for? Like if you're going to become a carpenter, you have to learn under someone who knows carpentry. If you want to be a doctor, you have to go to school for so many years, right? And you have to take classes from all kinds of teachers who teach you how to do it. Reading the book about it is not enough. You may read the book, but then when you actually learn from the doctor, he may tell you exactly how if he's doing surgery, you know, what angle to put the knife in, how to do this and that. So, and another example is like playing soccer. Someone can say, well, here's a soccer ball, guys, it's just go for it, play soccer. But no, professional soccer, they have coaches, professional football also. So by the same token, it's so important for ourselves to take our spiritual life as seriously as we take so many other things that we're learning, that we really want to put our energy into. We really want to pick a spiritual master that we feel that we can learn from so we can perfect our life. And it said, who did they mention in the purport that had a spiritual master? Can anybody say? Yes. Krishna had a spiritual master, right? Sandipani Muni. Who else had a spiritual master? Yes. What? Yeah, right. Yes. Arjuna, right. Lord Chaitanya. So this is part of our history. And so we want to make sure that we can focus in on that. And something else that comes up with Jai and Vijaya, but I'm not going to wait for this part because I know some of you have to leave early. But the idea of being able to Madmana Bhava Madbhakto Majiji Mam Namaskru Mama Yuktaivam. Yeah. Engage your mind always in thinking of me, offer obeisances and worship me, being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. So how is it that we can remember Krishna? I want you to help me with this. I want people to give me some ideas. How can we remember Krishna? Yes. Cooking? Yeah, your dad does that, right? So devotional service, right? When you perform devotional service for Krishna, you're serving. How else? There's so many. Yes. Chanting. Is that what you said? Yeah, chanting Krishna's name, definitely, that's another way. Yes. Coming to the temple. Okay, yes. Yes. Oh, giving books out. Yeah, that's a wonderful way to remember Krishna. And, you know, in the 7th chapter and the 10th chapter of Bhagavatam, I'll just give you a few examples. Also from Chaitanya Charitamrita, there's a story about a devotee named Mukunda. And he was the royal physician for a Muslim king. And so he was standing kind of on a high platform, and someone brought in a peacock fan and started fanning the king, and Mukunda went into such devotional ecstasy that he fell off the platform, completely fell off. So even something like a peacock fan can help us remember Krishna, because we know that Krishna loves peacock feathers and he wears one. What other things we could see? It could be animals, it could be other things, yes. Cows, definitely. We see a cow. we automatically think of Krishna because Krishna is a cowherd boy. Yes. Tulsi Devi, right, definitely. Tulsi Devi is such a special inspiration for us, you know, because all her leaves are offered to lotus feet of the Lord. And even other trees are mentioned too, just like the banyan tree is a very sacred tree. And trees in general, yes.
The neem tree,
yeah. And even like if you look at a flower, Prabhupada says, you know, ordinarily someone sees a flower and he picks it and he smells it. But what does a devotee do? What does a devotee do? Yes. He offers to Krishna, then he smells it. So, and this can happen at a very early age. I was really amazed yesterday, my little granddaughter, and she's going to be 2 very soon. But she has a little box, you know, with all her, you know, fruit in it and cottage, all these things. So she took some of it, and she got down off her little step ladder thing, and she went into the where the altar is. She opened it up, and she went like this, and then she went back up, and she honored the prasadam. So even before 2 years old, so you're also fortunate to be brought up that way from a very, very early age. What other things we look at might remind us of Krishna? You know, Krishna says, anybody else have anything they want to say? Okay. Krishna says, I'm the light of the sun and the moon. So we look at the sun, we look at the moon. Those are actually the eyes of Krishna. That can remind us of Krishna. There's a verse, Rasoham Apsakantaya Prabhashmi Sachi Surayo Pranava Sarvavedeshu Shabdike Purisham Nishu. Krishna says, I'm the taste of water. So how many people here drink water? Okay, it's several. All right, so pretty much 100% here. So every time that we drink water, it's an opportunity for us to remember Krishna. You know, water has become a big problem in some parts of the world, like in Mexico City, which is one of the largest cities. They're running out of water. So it's not like it's always going to be there for us, not necessarily. As Kali Yuga goes on, there's shortages of so many things. So Krishna, that taste of water is very special. It's so fresh, it's so pure. Krishna's a taste of the water. He's a light of the sun and the moon. He's a syllable om in the Vedic mantra. He's the sound in ether, and he's the ability in man. So we see some people who have incredible abilities, you know, great soccer players or great musicians, you know, great piano players or violinists or artists, you know, just like all this art, you know, that we have on our walls, so many things. And the ability from that comes from Krishna. Sometimes we see people who have a great ability, and then they might lose that ability, you know, so we want to be able to focus on Krishna, everything we do, in our studies, in our relationships with other people. You know, that's all important. Krishna is also, among the stars, I am the moon. Of mountains, I am Meru. Of bodies of water, I am the ocean. Of sacrifices, I am the chanting of the holy name. Someone mentioned that. And of course, what about animals? Are there any animals besides a cow that we could think of that would help us remember Krishna? Yes. What? A peacock. Yeah, good, a peacock. Actually, there's a verse. It goes like this. Vayamsi tad vyakaranam vichitram. And it says, varieties of birds are indications of Krishna's masterful artistic sense. And it mentions a peacock, and it mentions some other birds as well, because you look at some of the birds, they've got incredible color. Some of them can even talk. They can even chant Hare Krishna. You know, they're pretty smart. Yes. Monkeys, exactly. Who in particular do we think of when we think of a monkey? Who do we think of in particular? Yes. Hanuman, exactly, yeah. So we see a monkey, we think there's so many ways, you know, even throughout the day, that it might help us remember Krishna. And of course, when you see a devotee, especially a devotee with tilak, that's one of the reasons we wear tilak, because even if someone who isn't a devotee, if they see a devotee with tilak, they make spiritual advancement from that. Sometimes someone may even ask, do you have your hand up over here? Yes. What did he say? Parrots. Oh, parrots, right. That actually was one of them that was mentioned. Your parrots and some of them are very beautiful, right? With bright green, bright red, bright yellow feathers. Some of the feathers are so long, and some of the birds, they sing so beautifully. So there's another verse in Bhagavad Gita, Tata Vibhutimat Sattvam Srimad Urdhisham Evava. It says, know that all mighty, beautiful, and glorious creations spring but from a spark of my splendor. So anything that's really special, you know, very beautiful, either in sound or sight or anything, you know, food that's prepared nicely, that's got a spark of Krishna, because Krishna has the six opulences. What are the six opulences of Krishna? Can anybody say what's one of them? Krishna is? Okay, Krishna's famous. What else? Krishna's wealthy. What else? Krishna's strong, isn't he? Yeah. What else? Krishna's beautiful, yes. He's so smart, right? All knowledge. And yes. Yeah. Renounced. Okay, did we get them all? Okay. So Krishna has all those qualities, and it says in the Bhagavatam that pure devotees, anaga, spotless devotees, they have 79% of the qualities of the demigods. So as we become pure, those qualities manifest. Like if someone's rude, if somebody's a bully, if someone's not polite to their teachers, if someone doesn't pay attention in class, you know, all of those things are because we haven't really reached our full potential as a human being of developing all those qualities of the demigods. The demigods, you know, they're beautiful and they're polite. They're very courteous. They're very smart. All of that. So, I'm done with that part. Okay. So, with Jaya and Vijaya, we're going to talk a little bit about that today. Let me see if I get everything here. And Jaya and Vijaya, it starts with the four Kumaras. And the four Kumaras, you're welcome. The four Kumaras were saintly, they were the first sons of Lord Brahma. And Lord Brahma had expected them to serve him in the manner of procreation, of helping to create beings in the universe. But when the Kumaras were so smart, again, the Kumaras were so smart that they decided they didn't want to do that. Okay, they didn't want to get involved with material life, you know, propagating children and all that. So they also took the bodies of small children, because small children, they don't get so agitated by, you know, lust, anger, and greed when they're little like that, especially lust. So this was very, very important for the Kumaras. But the Kumaras, they're called Brahmavadis or impersonalists, but they did have a desire to go to see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they started on their trip to go. There's like many gates leading to Vaikuntha. Of course, Vaikuntha, Kunta means anxiety, and Vai means without. So that word, Vaikuntha, means without anxiety. So is there anybody here that never experiences any anxiety? Is there anybody here? Nope, nobody. So that's part of being in the material world, that we do experience anxiety in so many different ways by adiatmak, adibhautik, adidaivik. So the Kumaras, they were on their way to see the Supreme Person of Godhead, and said they developed the power of being the lightest of the light. So they kind of just very quickly went through six gates. And those gates are made of gold and diamonds, very, very beautiful gates. When they came to the seventh gate, there were Jaya and Vijaya. And they looked at these little boys, and they were like, who are you? What are you doing here? I'm sorry. They kind of took their sticks, you know, and crossed them so they couldn't get in. So the Kumaras, immediately, they became upset. And they cursed them. They were like, this was their thought process. They thought, you know, they couldn't be real Vaikuntha men, because Vaikuntha men aren't, they're not rude. And, you know, pure devotees, they develop 79% of the qualities of the demigods. They're not acting like that. So I think they really belong in the, Prabhupada used the word, criminal section of this world. So they were cursed to go into the material world. Of course, when the Vijayavijaya heard that, they became alarmed and they immediately paid their obeisances to the four Kumaras. And Prabhupada says, you can't reverse the curse of a Brahmana. You can't do that. So they just begged, oh please, even if we have to go to the material world, please don't let us forget the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So that's again why we practiced. They didn't want to lose that no matter what happened. So simultaneously with that happening, Padmanabha, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he appeared in all his beauty with the Goddess of Fortune. It said he had a beautiful flower garland on, and he always had like bumblebees, you know, kind of, but I think they're the kind that don't sting. They're buzzing around the flowers, looking super, super beautiful. And when the Lord came, immediately the Kumaras started to feel like a little repentant. It said as soon as they saw him, they thought, oh gosh, you know, maybe we shouldn't have done that. Maybe we shouldn't have cursed the Supreme Person of Godhead. So the Lord is concerned about the situation, and he says to Jayavijaya, he actually takes responsibility for the curse and for Jayavijaya's actions, because he says, Jayavijaya are my servants, and my servants have committed an offense. And so because of that, he felt like, the Lord felt like it was his offense, because the Lord, one of his names is Bhaktivatsal, and that means the lover of his devotees. And Srila Prabhupada makes the point that a devotee who is really working to become a pure devotee, even if he commits an offense, that ultimately the Lord will help him along the path. You know, he'll help that devotee become a pure devotee. So that is one thing that Padmanabha, the Lord, mentioned. And he said to Jayavijaya, you can make a decision here. He could have counteracted the curse, but he decided not to counteract the curse. He decided that instead he would let Jayavijaya choose, will you want to take 3 births as demons, or do you want to take 7 births as a devotee? So they didn't take him long to think about it, and they picked become demons. Why do you think they would pick that? Why do you think that? Yeah. What?
They wanted to go back to Krishna.
Yeah, they wanted to go back faster, right? They figured 7 births as a devotee, okay, but we just want to get back to our position as fast as we can. So that's, you know, that's what they decided to do. And in the meantime, the Kumaras were repentant and said to the Lord that they were sorry. You know, they were sorry that this had happened. And the Lord said, you know what? This actually was part of my plan. Part of my plan was that all of this would happen. And in that way, I would be able to fight. Any of the boys and girls here ever like to fight? Nobody? What? Okay. Maybe I saw some little boys, actually, Mulika's grandchildren, Jana and Shama's little boys, are maybe like 4, and they're always like going after each other, rolling on the ground, fighting. So where does that propensity come from to fight? Where do you think it comes from, the idea to fight? Yeah, it comes from Krishna. Everything, every propensity that we have, even the cheating propensity, comes from Krishna. Krishna is known to be a bit of a cheater here and there. So the propensity to be beautiful, the propensity to be intelligent, all those propensities come from Krishna. So Krishna, it said he couldn't really, in Vaikuntha, first of all, nobody ages. You know, they're young forever, and nobody fights in Vaikuntha. Okay, there's no reason to fight. They're all united. It says, Prabhupada said, they're all united in the service of the Lord. So he can't really pick someone to fight from Vaikuntha, from the spiritual world. So because of that, he has to arrange to fight with somebody from the material world. And this is who he chose to fight with. So Jaya and Vijaya, they take birth as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, then as Ravana and Kumbhakarna, and then as Shishupala and Dantavakra. So actually, when Diti, who is a mother of Jaya and Vijaya, who are now Hiranyakashipu and Raksha, she knew that because she conceived these children at an inauspicious time, her husband told her because of that they would be a disturbance to the devotees. And you know, the definition of a devotee is someone who always wants to serve Krishna, and the definition of a demon is someone who only wants to serve their senses. They're not interested in serving the Supreme Personal Godhead. So, you know, we see this in other religions too. People have this propensity to serve God. So she didn't want her children to be born because she didn't want them to be a disturbance to the demigods. So she kept them in for like 100 years. They weren't born until finally, I guess, it was just inevitable it was going to happen. In the meantime, before they were born, it became so dark. It became so dark all over the world that the demigods were appealing to Lord Brahma, like, please, we've had to suspend all of our services. You know, please help us. And that's what devotees do when there's difficulty. You know, they appeal to a higher authority, someone that can help them, their spiritual master, to Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna teaches us from within as super soul and without as a spiritual master. And as we've seen with Dhruva and Prahlad, that they're meditating on the Lord within the heart. And we can always feel that. We can always look for shelter. You know, in this day and age, there are so many mental problems, more than ever before. You know, you hear of really unthinkable kind of things of, you know, young people committing suicide, you know, taking their lives, being so disturbed by social media. Maybe they don't have enough likes, or someone's bullying them. But actually, we're so fortunate to have realize the Supreme Personal God is within our heart, and we can always take shelter of Him in so many ways. And if we're looking, we're going to be able to see also. We're going to be able to see Krishna everywhere, because you know Krishna is a spark of all kinds of splendor. So, you know, in three of the ages, and that's like, you know, Satya, Dwapara, and Treta, in those ages, the main qualities that were exhibited were mercy, cleanliness, and austerity. And in this age of Kali that's gone down, the bar has dropped so low, there's very little of that exhibited, of mercy. You know, so many horrible things happen in Kali Yuga. And cleanliness, that also goes way down. And austerity. You know, actually, Brahmanas, the greatest wealth of a Brahmana is his austerity. So, you know, devotees learn to perform austerity, but to enjoy it. In this age of Kali Yuga, the greatest austerity is chanting the holy name. Trinadapya Sunuchina, Tarodapya Sahishuna, Amanina Manadena Kirtaniya Sahari. So by chanting the Lord's name, we're able to create a Vaikuntha-like atmosphere, why Prabhupada set up all these temples, you know, all over the world, so that we would be able to actually really enjoy. So something to remember as you go throughout life, because we really never know. I mean, this boy Abai, who just passed away, was one of my students at ALA, Lacha Learning Academy, for 4 years, 5th grade, 6th grade, 7th, 8th grade, I taught him and his two brothers. So I think yesterday or the day before yesterday, he was in a car accident in Trinidad, and it was like immediately gone. So nobody thinks that's going to happen. Nobody expects something like that, but anything can happen at any time. And Prabhupada also makes the point that, you know, like these reverses with Jayan Vijay and with the Kumaras, because, you know, Lord Padmanabha, he totally forgave them. But also that reverses in life sometimes come for a reason. Like Haridas Thakur, what happened to him is that he was beat in a marketplace, in 22 marketplaces. And it seems pretty unfair that that would happen to him. But if you read Chaitanya Bhagavat explains that actually Lord Chaitanya, he took on that punishment. So Haridas Thakur really didn't have to feel the pain of that beating. Also, just like Jesus Christ was crucified, what was his crime? Spreading love of God. So there's so many instances where there's a reverse of fortune. But in the Bhagavatam verse of Tatenu Kampam Shikshimik Shamana explains that, you know, anyone who reverses come and with their body, mind, and words, they're able to worship the Supreme Person of Godhead and tolerate any difficulties that may come, then they inherit, the way they put it is they inherit the spiritual world. So that is the inheritance that we're looking forward to, because certainly no one can say that their life is anxiety-free or difficulty-free. You know, it's always something that's bothering us. But as we chant the holy name purely, we definitely can kind of sail through it, just like the Kumara is able to, you know, go through all those gates because they were lighter than the lightest. You know, we can also, you know, be able to conquer so many difficulties by chanting the holy name and also being able to spread the holy name. So I think I'll stop here. If anybody has any comments or questions they'd like to add, this is a good time. Anybody have a question, comment? All right. Okay.
Thank you, Prabhu. Thank you for your nice class.
You're welcome.
What's your take on the Jayan Vijay wanted to be demons to go back earlier? Is that any way we can apply that to our lives to get to Krishna?
That's a good question. Any way we could apply it to our lives? Don't be a demon. Well, I mean, I guess the whole point for them was that because as soon as they were cursed by the Kumaras, they just said, okay, we know we can't change the curse, but we just want to remember Krishna the whole time, right? They just want to remember Krishna. And that's why I was trying to, like, do that exercise with the kids of all the different ways there are, you know, to remember Krishna. You know, a peacock fan, a shamara, you know, we see a conch shell, we go to the ocean, you know, we think of Lord Chaitanya, you know, and Haridas Thakur at the ocean, so many things. So I guess that's how we can... That's our lesson, is to follow their example and always being able to remember Krishna in so many ways. Just like Mukunda, I love that example that, you know, he sees someone coming with a peacock fan. He remembers Krishna, goes into total devotional ecstasy and faints on the spot, you know? So, and you see, when you go to devotees' homes, you often see, like, you know, some people have a whole collection of different cow ornaments or a whole collection of peacock ornaments or... You know, their whole house is decorated in, you know, blue or yellow or, you know, even colors or saffron, you know. People love that, devotees love that saffron color. So I think for us it's just a matter of all the ways we can remember Krishna. Of course, chanting the holy name regularly and attentively, you know, helps us to do that. And, you know, helping remind other people, too, how to remember Krishna. And just developing that humility, you know. Once you try to learn the truth by approaching the spiritual master, once you inquire for him submissively, render humble service, his self-realized soul can impart knowledge to you because he's seen the truth. Like, you know, unfortunately, people generally think that opulence comes... And I just read this recently where Prabhupada says that wealth and opulence, it doesn't come from hard labor. It comes from the blessings of the Lord. So you may see somebody come into this life and they easily amass wealth, but they may have performed, you know, something in their past life that they accumulated blessings, and now they're, you know, now they're being exhibited. So that also is being lost in Kali Yuga. It used to be in India, you never heard of parents being put in nursing homes, maybe for medical reasons, but now they're following in the footsteps of the U.S., and it's very common for them just to, you know, put their old parents there, where Vedically, the idea was you serve that older people, you know, they had this wisdom. And even if they didn't have the wisdom, just the respect, because they brought you up, you know, they paid for everything for you, you know, bringing you up. And so you have this responsibility, but now so much of that is being lost. So remember Krishna, remembering, you know, how to respect everyone, you know, being able to respect and not to offend any devotees. And that can be a little difficult sometimes. Or if you are offended, it says when a brahmana gives an instruction to a devotee, he should just smile and just thank you, yes sir, you know, instead of the false ego rising up and going, who are you to tell me what to do, or, you know, like that. So it's really about remember Krishna and letting go of our false ego, and, you know, and trying to serve nicely.
Well, my point was, uh-huh. Several lifetimes of being a devotee, you still remember Krishna. I mean, Jayan Vijayan.
But you have to remember what Krishna wanted. What did Krishna want?
He wanted to come back earlier?
No, well, yeah, he wanted to fight.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, Krishna wanted to fight. So he said, really, all of this, I ordained this. You know, he put his blessing over it all because he wanted a good fight, and he certainly got it with Aranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu and Ravana, you know, and Kumbhakarna, all those guys, you know. He got the fight. So, and that's the point that Prabhupada was making too, is that sometimes there's a reversal in your life. You know, something happens and it's just, it's mind-boggling. You know, you're stunned by the reversal. But maybe, you know, they say hindsight's 20/20. Sometimes you look back and you go, oh, you understand, you know, this, you know, Krishna made this arrangement so that I could become more Krishna conscious. So many times, you know, so-called reversals are benedictions. You know, and also gives Krishna an opportunity to glorify his devotee. When something happens and then, you know, the devotee is able to come out victorious, you know, always able to come out and show that he, you know, his loyalty, right, to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, no matter what, then that's wonderful. That's like a future Srimad Bhagavatam story when those kind of things happen. And we've definitely seen and continue to see a lot of it. Okay, we'll stop here. Thank you so much for your kind attention.